Your Bibles, we'll go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Looking forward to a great weekend, Vacation Bible School this week. And our theme is Children of Our Lord in a Foreign Land, looking for that city prepared by God. And it comes from this, that thinking, that main theme comes from this passage here in the honor roll of faith. And so, in seeking the Lord's face about what to preach, this morning and this afternoon, that main thought, it's our teachers work hard. The teachers in the Vacation Bible School, with the time that they have, they work hard to get all the material in. And so this foundational main theme passage is just tough to get it all in, along with the different characters we have in each night through the week. And so felt impressed to go ahead and touch upon this and preach upon this morning. Verse number 8 is our thought for this morning, to get us started. Hebrews 11, verse number 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. I know there's more that's in that verse, but that's gets us started for this morning, for the title of the message, We Sojourn To, Resting on Our Eternal Foundation. We Sojourn To, Resting on Our Eternal Foundation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the way you've blessed us today, and we thank you for your word, Sunday school lessons and the teaching there, the richness of what you've done for us and provided for us, what you've done to glorify your name, how you've saved us and put us in your church, Father, and put us all here together at Olmsted Baptist Church, the work that you've called us to do, Father. Lord, this is divine, and this is from heaven. This is from you, and you've blessed us greatly. Lord, help us that we might be thrilled, enjoyed, and excited in your calling and what you have done in calling us. Help each one of us as members of your church here to find that place that you've made for us and be about the business, Father, that you've given us to do. We thank you for those of the membership dedicated to that. And we pray, Father, all of us would be dedicated unto it and be a part, Father. You know, one day you tell us, Lord, in your scripture, that all this world is going to burn up and all the things of this world are going to be past. And all that's going to matter is what we've sent on ahead and what we've done for you and for your kingdom. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us to know that and receive that. Lord, this is not our home. We are passing through indeed. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to remember that. Thank you for our sure and solid foundation in Christ. And help us, Lord, as we look into your word, as your children, we would be strengthened and encouraged in you and just learn more about you and what you've done for us. And Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved, Lord, that in this scripture and in this message this morning, they might see they have no foundation. Sinking sand is indeed all that they have. And we pray, Father, that you would speak to them and, Lord, show them wonderful things, wonderful truths out of your word. Lord, their great need, their sin, their condemnation, and a Savior who can save them from all those things. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. And amen. Here we read in verse number 8 that Abraham was called to go into a place that he would receive for an inheritance. And we left you hanging right there. In this chapter, we see at the beginning of this chapter, in verse number 1 and 2, faith. Now, faith is the substance. It's what you can put your hands on. It's the matter, okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's a view, there's a vision, there's an outlook of things to come. And faith is also the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report of God. Faith is not something that just as a faith is not a characteristic of man. Okay, understand that faith is looked at. I think it maybe that's a way to say it. It's looked at more like a characteristic than what we've been given by God and having faith in Him. Faith, you just don't have, faith is not sheer will, grit, and determination. Now, you and I can have will, grit, and determination about things. And our faith as the children of God, our faith in the Lord, is to give us that for the sake of our Lord, the furtherance of His kingdom. But faith is that we have been given, that we look unto God and who He is, what He's promised, what He said, what He's done, what He's doing, what He will do, and we look to Him and rest in Him and trust in Him, and that all that He's doing and all that He's said, we line up our lives to it. Not to live life for ourselves, but to believe God. To believe God and what He said. Brother Mark pointed out about the Bible. Indeed, this is God's word from eternity to you and me. You, the individual. Me, the individual. It's what God wants us to know. And I understand God's not trying to do anything, but in the way that He works, He's given us His word. And you know what? You and I can listen to it, or we can reject it. We can draw near to it and look into it to see what He says about everything that we need to know. Or we can just say, no, I don't need that. I'm going to go do something else. And that's the way the Lord has worked. It tells here in the beginning of this book of Hebrews that in the former days, God spoke to us by the prophets, Old Testament, all the way up to John. And by holy men of God, it tells us, Peter tells us. But he says in these last days, He's spoken to us through and by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. New Testament. Well, you know what you find out when you look at the New Testament? And all that the prophets were talking about, Jesus was talking to us too. Are you listening to Him? Are you hearing? Are you obeying Him and acting on what He says? Faith. Do you have faith in the Lord? That's what the subject of this chapter is about. Verse number 6, listen to this. But without faith in God, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, gets up there right up close to the Lord, sees and desires the Lord, hears the Lord. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is really there. Yes, we can't see Him with these eyes. That's the reason that faith is at hand. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith in the Lord, He can't be pleased. He's not going to be pleased by what you and I work to gain His favor with, as so many. Brother Mark wrote several of them up on the board there. That's what those denominations, those different groups and organizations are trying to do. They sell a gospel of procuring grace from the Lord, favor from the Lord. Grace cannot be procured from the Lord by the sinner. The sinner must come to the Lord on God's terms, guilty and condemned indeed, and needing the Savior that the Lord has provided, as we'll see today in the messages. You can't please God without faith and believing and trusting and resting in Him. But one that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you really want to know what God says? Do you want to really know what God says and how that applies to you? Do you have an idea? Do you have a thought? Do you have a desire to understand what God says about how it can be good and well and right and peaceful between Him and you? Seek Him while He may be found. Draw nigh while He is near. He's very near indeed. There's coming a day that He will not be near. In verse number 8, what do we see here with Brother Abraham? We preached about him last week. We're back on him again this week. It says here, by faith, Abraham, faith in the Lord, when he was called to go into a place that he should after receive for an inheritance, I left you hanging right there. What's the next word? Obeyed. He obeyed what the Lord said. That's what he had. And as we pointed out last week in the message, the things that the Lord dealt with Abraham in were the things that he had. And you know what? He obeyed in them. You and I, we have in our day, in this time, in time that we live, we have a a very clear picture, don't we, of what the Lord says and what He has done and what He requires of mankind, what He's provided for mankind for salvation in His Son. He obeyed. Are you and I? Are you and I obeying what God has said, what the Lord has said? He obeyed, and you know what He did? He went out not knowing whither He went, but He knew that God said go. God said go. I don't know how it'll work out. I don't know where we're going. That didn't matter. God said it. He followed it. See, that's faith. That's faith to take your life, if you will, take your soul and trust in what the Lord has said, not knowing how He's going to accomplish it. How do we know that the Lord Jesus Christ really paid for our sins? Did you get a receipt? Well, we do have the earnest of the Spirit, don't we? You know what I'm saying? Was there anywhere we could go? Was there some teller window that we could go and check it out and make sure that the account's good? No, but we believe Him and trust in Him that He said He's done it. Amen? See, that's faith. That's faith. What if it's not true? I'm trusting in Him. My future, my hope, my help is in Him and Him alone. He's not a liar. And you know what? Understand this. It's not what we have contrived that we have suggested to the Lord that He do for us. It's His work. It's His plan. It's His operation, as it tells us in the book of Colossians, isn't it? It's what He has come and proactively come and given and presented and brought forth and done for us, unto us, isn't it? It's His work. Abraham obeyed. He went out, not knowing whether he went. Listen, verse number 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. And that's the way it is with us. We're as children, just like brother Abraham, we sojourn too. He sojourned in the land of promise. Well, Lord Jesus says, fear not, little children, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I tell you what, we're going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years here. The meek shall indeed inherit the earth. That's what the Lord has said. But our desire is not to inherit this world. It's a blessing of the Lord, but our desire is to be with the Lord, isn't it? To see our Savior face to face, to do His bidding, and to be able to obey the Lord without any hindrance of sin and the drag down of this flesh, right? We sojourn here, if you will, in this land of promise, in a sense. He sojourned as in a strange country. And now in that aspect, this world is not our home. We are passing through here, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. What do you think about that? Abraham never built a house. Now we got some recently that have built houses, remodeling houses, building a house. There's nothing wrong with having a place here to live. Not a thing at all. But this is not the permanent place, is it? Amen. This is not where all the stake and the stock is put in, is it? That's what that mentions there about Brother Abraham. He was given that which he was to sojourn and travel across that land, and everywhere that his foot touched, the Lord said He would give it to him. And that's that significance of him living in tabernacles or tents. No permanency. No permanency. We'll have more. We'll see more about that here in a moment. With his sons, the heirs with him of the same promise. And we understand that's the case. This sojourning. The Apostle Paul speaks about this in regards to the apostles, and I think that we can take this and bring this to the children of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, interesting here, in 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 4 speak about the using up of the apostles for the sake of those that follow after. Listen to what he says here in 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 9. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, to angels and to men. Verse 10, We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto the present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. That's what the apostle says about being an apostle of the Lord. You know what? Many children of the Lord over time have experienced this very same thing. You take a look at the latter part of Hebrews chapter 11. You'll see some of them there. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have it so good in our land, and I praise the Lord for it. May we use this blessing, this liberty, for the honor and sake of our Lord, for the furtherance of His kingdom. But he declared it. He had no certain dwelling place. Why? Because they're passing through. Passing through this place. This is not our eternal home. Indeed. What was it that Jesus said to those that inquired of him? In Matthew chapter 8, our Lord Jesus, no sojourning and no certain dwelling place, dwelling in tabernacles, Brother Abraham did. In Matthew 8, verse number 18, a scribe comes to him, says that he'll follow him. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, Matthew 8, 18, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Our Lord Jesus was a sojourner, wasn't he? And our Lord Jesus was a sojourner for the sake of others. Can you think about the blessing of all those that were on the path of the Lord Jesus Christ during the day of his ministry? Those that came to hear him because of the fame that went out, and then when they heard him, they were saved. Their lives were changed. They were touched. We're thankful that the Word of God has come to us, aren't we? His gospel, his truth. Our Lord Jesus was a sojourner, not for his own sake, for the sake of others, for our sakes. Verse 21, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. The Lord Jesus says, sojourn with me. Back in Hebrews 11, it says here in verse number 10, by faith Abraham sojourned, not having a permanent dwelling, living in tents with his sons. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, that verse has never hit me like it has in recent times since we've had this theme for our Vacation Bible School. Abraham looked for a city. Now, I tell you what, when you talk about a city, that's some permanent dwellings, isn't it? I mean, that's established. Who moves a city, right? And it says here, he looked for a city which hath foundations. Right. You know what I think we can see here? There is none other that has foundations. The city that Abraham was looking for was the city that hath foundations. Because none other has foundations. And it declares here plainly that the builder and maker of this city is God. No other city has eternal foundations. I'm reminded of this, a message that I preached some time ago, some years ago. Revelation chapter 16, the shaking of the Lord. It's probably on the archive if you'd want to listen to it. Tell you what, it was really something what the Lord, what the Scripture says about this shaking. Look what it says here in Revelation chapter 16, verse number 17 through 20. In Revelation 16, verse number 17, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven and from the throne saying, 'It is done.'" Verse 18, "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth." So there's an earthquake, a shaking coming like there has never been before. And we're going to have, this earth is going to have, I should say rather, some pretty rough ones between this one and now. Okay? But there's going to come one that's going to be the shaking, the earthquake ever, the worst, "such as when it's not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided in three parts, into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." Our Lord is pouring judgment out upon the nations and working of this world. Listen. "And every island fled away," meaning they're gone, "sunk down below the level of the water because of this earthquake. And the mountains were not found." I'm seeing that this earthquake is so great that most, if not all, of the mountains of the earth are just going to settle out. What an earthquake, huh? "All the foundations of everything that men have built is going to be destroyed." Amen. Amen? What about that city that Abraham was looking for? Not that one, not that city, right? Let's take a look over at what it says here in Hebrews. Oh, what a blessing. In Hebrews chapter 12, next chapter over from where we're at. And interesting that this is this way. Hebrews 12, verse number 25. Speaking about Jesus, a great gathering of the Lord. We're moving our membership one day, aren't we, Brother Mark? Yeah. When the Lord will bring all of the saints. You know, you're going to have, I was thinking about that as the brother was teaching this morning, as a little side note here. You got all the nation of Israel that's saved, that's trusting in the Lord, and they're going to be there and they're going to have their place. And then you're going to have the church of the Lord that will all be gathered. All the saints that have been, and we'll be members of the Lord's churches. We'll be gathered together, moving our membership to glory, to be with the Lord. And you know what? There's another subgroup, Brother Mark. Look at those apostles. They're Jews and more. But think about the apostles. They're Jews. They're of the nation of Israel. And they are in the church of the living God. Isn't that something? And along with other Jews. And look at those apostles sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. That's what the Lord said. They are in the church, leadership in the church, first leadership after Christ, and they are judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Man, there's some stuff to preach about in there, isn't there? Look what it says here. "See that you refuse not him," verse 25, Hebrews 12, "that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth," I think he's speaking about Sinai, "but now he hath promised, saying," well, you could also say that, remember the great earthquake that happened at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? Gospels tell us about that. "But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And this word, "yet once more," one more shaking, I pointed you to that great earthquake that we see in Revelation 16, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, those things that are able to shake, they go away. The islands, the mountains, the foundations of the buildings of men. as of things that are made, made by men, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, what cannot be shaken? I tell you what, the foundation that our Lord has laid down, the foundation that is our Lord, it cannot be shaken. The Lord can take and shake everything, but that foundation will not be shaken. Brother Abraham, he looked for a city which hath foundations. And there's only one, that which is of our Lord. No other city has foundation in that way. In thinking about this of foundations and of shoring up and being supported in that, Brother Moses, as he was blessing the tribes of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 33, I'll tell you what, you want to be on the foundation of the Lord. Brother Moses is blessing the tribes of Israel as they're getting ready, the second generation, as they're getting ready to go into the land of promise. And look what he says here. It says here in verse number 1, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. We come down here to his blessing of the tribe of Asher at the end. And then he wraps up by declaring this. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, or Israel, that is the reference there, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. Moses speaking to Israel. We who are saved, we're in the same place. And his excellency on the sky. Listen, the eternal God is thy refuge. Are you saved? He is our refuge, isn't he? We can hide in him, can't we? And underneath are the everlasting arms. I mean, we sing a song about the everlasting arms, don't we? I mean, what a foundation. The everlasting arms of our Lord. With a mighty hand and a stretched out arm, he delivered Israel. With a mighty hand and a stretched out arm, he delivers sinners like you and me. And you know what? He carries us. He supports us. And the greatest foundation, the best foundation, the only foundation that is, there's no shaking. As it tells us in Romans, what can separate us from the love of our Lord? Nothing. 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 Things can come and things can shake and things can weather. But the everlasting arms, the solid foundation of our Lord abideth forever. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Our Lord Jesus spoke along that line in some of the parables that he gave. We saw that at the nursing home service this past week. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24, you remember how the Lord Jesus wraps up the Sermon on the Mount? Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. Therefore, whosoever, Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, there's that word of the Lord again. The word of the Lord came to Abraham, and he believed what God said, and he took off living in a tent. He obeyed the Lord. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The foundation of the Lord. Abraham was looking for that city. We're looking for that permanent dwelling place of the people and children of God, aren't we? I tell you what, do we ever have to fear an attack upon that place, upon that city? No. Our Lord Jesus, when he comes back from glory to deal with the nations of this earth and deal with his nation Israel, he comes with his hosts, and we don't even move a muscle to fight. The Lord fights out of the word, with the word out of his mouth, doesn't he? Foundation. He looked for a city which hath foundations, because none other does, whose builder and maker is God. We come back over here to Hebrews 11 and some reinforcing thoughts here from verse 11 on. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We saw about that last week. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, physically and more so spiritually, right? Were the children of Abraham, the children of faith. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. Are you persuaded of what the Lord has said is true? It's not talking about being wishy-washy. It's not talking about not having confidence. But what God has said, the way the Lord has laid out the way it's going to be and laid out the plan, laid out the truth, laid out about salvation, the future of the unrepentant, the future of the repentant, all of what the Lord said, are you persuaded that that's true? Tell you what, I'm persuaded what the Lord says is true. I tell you what, everything that everybody else says is going to wilt and dry up and go away, but what the Lord has said is eternal. A person can rest their soul and their life upon our Lord. Brother Abraham, he died believing the Lord. He didn't get in his lifetime to the end of what the Lord said. He never saw his children occupying that real estate, but he believed that he and they, through them, will. It's not done yet, is it? But he believed it. Because God said it. And you know what? The Lord will bring it to pass. The Lord's not tore up about time like you and I are. They died in faith in the Lord, not having received the promises of the Lord, but they saw him afar off, didn't they? Do we see that? Do you see anything afar off? And we're persuaded of them, these promises. Listen to this, and embrace them. I tell you what. What else is there? What other way is there to go than to embrace the promises, the word of the Lord? Amen? What else is there? What is there that has any future, any foundation, any help, any hope, any blessing? And confessed by doing so, by being persuaded, seeing them afar off, embracing them, they confessed, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. That's the way it is with you and me. We're here, and our Lord has left us here and called us here, but do we fit? The child of God obeying the Lord doesn't fit. Just like our Lord Jesus was a testimony against sin and against wickedness just by his very presence, so the children of God are too, if they're living for the Lord. Have their hearts right before the Lord. We're just pilgrims. We're strangers. See, that's what that word stranger means. Just don't fit here with this crowd. For they that say such things, verse 14, declare plainly that they seek a country. I'm looking for a better place, aren't you? The one that Jesus, the one our Lord has promised. He said, I can't quote it now. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will surely come again. And I'm off to paraphrasing now that I might receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm looking for that place. I tell you what, we have some good times here in our services and the blessings of the Lord and being together and fellowshipping together. But I tell you what, and they are a taste of those things to come. But I tell you what, the time that we will have there in the presence of our Lord is just going to be beyond what we can imagine. But you know, I'm persuaded that's going to be the case, and that'll be the blessing indeed. They seek a country. Verse number 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that from which whence they came out, if they'd have been looking back towards and got their eyes back on what they came from, they might have had opportunity to return. But now, by faith in the Lord and what he has said, they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. And we know that the Lord's going to bring in a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what it's speaking about, heavenly. It's not talking about floating around on the clouds forever, strumming on a harp and that. But a country designed by the heavenly. That is just, that would just blow our carnal minds to bits, to smithereens, in the greatness and grandeur and the blessing of it. Yet the greatness of it will be that Jesus is the light. And the Lord is the light. And we'll be able to rejoice eternally with him forever and ever and ever. But now they desire a better country that isn't heavenly. And because of their faith and resting in the Lord, wherefore? Isn't that what that word says? Isn't that what it says there? Wherefore? Because these believe the promises and the word of God and what his design is, his foundation, his city, his salvation through his Son, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. God says, I claim him. I claim her. I saved him. They receive me. And what he has said, what he's declared. We'll look at more about that, Lord willing, in the afternoon message. Wherefore? Because they desire what the Lord has and what the Lord has promised and what the Lord has prepared. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. A city built four square. What a wondrous thing. What a wondrous thing. An earth without seas and no doubt other cities within it. Where the saved of the Lord will dwell eternally in the city, the New Jerusalem will be there in the traffic that will go in and out of the saints of God. I tell you what, we just can't imagine what it is. We have what the Lord's told us. And we grapple to get it and comprehend it. We get glimpses of it. But we sojourn too, don't we? Resting on our eternal foundation. In conclusion, in regard to a foundation and support, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11, the Scripture says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. I mean, in way after way after way after way after way. All types of applications in regards to the foundation of the Lord. Namely, that salvation. And then in this context, in that city that the Lord has built for us. The psalmist declares in Psalm 18, verse number 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I tell you what, in light of this passage we've looked at this morning, I tell you what, that makes that rich, doesn't it? The psalmist putting that together that way. Couldn't help but think what our Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 20, verse number 18. And whosoever shall fall on that stone shall be broken. Yeah, you know what? It's good to be on top of the stone. Because repentance and contrition, a hatred of sin, and a rescue by the Lord Jesus Christ is found on top of the stone. We need to be broken that way. We need to be brought to the end of ourself. And that all things are the Lord's. I tell you what, whosoever shall fall upon that stone receives him, believes him, rests in his word, looking for his city, knowing that the Lord and believing that the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I tell you what, there's help and salvation there on that foundation. What's that passage go on to say? Luke 20, verse number 8. But whosoever that stone shall fall upon, they shall be broken, but who, on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. I tell you what, being on the bottom side of the rock, being on the bottom side of the foundation is no place to be. It's a place of destruction. It's a double emphasis that's there. In the English, it says, grind them to powder. It's grinding, grinding. I mean, utter destruction. Remember what the Lord said about his enemies? And they will be destroyed before his people. How about your foundation? How about your soul? How about your sin? What a wonderful support and foundation we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. A foundation of rescue and deliverance. A foundation of a secure future. But if you're here and you're not saved, you're not a sojourner. This is your home, and it's going to be destroyed. And you have no foundation other than foundation of sinking sand, which is no future at all. We point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in him and his gospel.